I think most or all of us have been faced with that age-old question at one point in our lives or another in one situation or another. Perhaps it was in school or a job interview, perhaps in that icebreaker activity you just wish would get over already. If you could ask and interview one person, what would you ask them and who would you interview? Some of us would take the chance to meet our favorite historical figure. Some of us would take the chance to get behind that conspiracy theory that we secretly or not so secretly carry. Not that any of us do that. Some would want to know the behind the scenes of just how that one famous moment in time really happened. Some, or perhaps all of us, would wish we had this chance with Jesus, too, I bet. Whether because of life experience, or whether we just want to know something about the way the universe works, or just curiosity. My guess is that we all have that one question that we would ask. And I suppose Jesus would probably give us an answer. That answer, though, might be in some sort of parable. It might be in some sort of long story. We might even rile him up with the question that we ask, I suppose, depending on what we really want to know. It might cause us to have to sit and to listen for longer than we really thought we were going to have to, which might not be the worst thing, I suppose. It seems like the crowds, in their desire to figure out who Jesus is in our gospel lesson for today, have sort of ended up in that situation. They don't have to face the "if you could only ask him one question" hypothetical because they're with him. They get to ask him whatever they want. But they are still confused. They still aren't sure who Jesus is. And if they could just get to the core of his identity, if they could just figure out what he was doing, why he was doing it, they might be able to figure out what to do with this guy. What should we do? It would be helpful to know who you are first. So they say, and I just love this phrase, it stuck with me all week. If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. Tell us plainly. Tell us, Jesus, make it known to us who you are. This is the question that the crowd has for him for today. And Jesus says, I've already shown you. After all, in previous stories, he has healed, he has fed, he has raised. He has done all of these actions that reveal just who he is, or so he thinks. I mean, aren't these things only those that the Son of God could do? Isn't it clear? To this point in the Gospel of John, Jesus has only explicitly made it known to one person who he is and what he is doing. The Samaritan woman at the well. So those gathered have clearly not understood all that he has done and all that he has said. And so they say, if you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. As I was thinking about this week, I wondered what questions we might have for Jesus that we just want the plain, upfront, clear answer to. There's probably a long list. Some that we would ask because of what was going on in our lives at the time. Some we just want to know. Some are sort of age-old questions. Some have spurned centuries of theological debate. Tell us plainly, Jesus, why a culture and rhetoric of violence seems to attract so many like a magnet. Tell us plainly why this has to go on where so many people endure such tragedy. Tell us plainly. Tell us plainly, Jesus, why the one who I love only seems to endure so much that is wrong or bad. Tell us plainly, Jesus, how I can learn to love a world in need, how I can learn to love that person that just drives me crazy. Tell us plainly, Jesus. Fill in the blank. You can do it. I'm guessing that you have something that you want to be made known. It seems that we all do as we read and hear the news. Something has to come up, right? Or we experience the relationships that we all have that are at least one, broken or hurting. Simply as we move through life, these questions come up. Life is full of them. Life is full of the unknown, the maddening, the grief, the joy. All of these things that can leave us feeling lost and confused. And we just want the answers told to us plainly. Of course, sometimes and all too frequently, the answers aren't made known. But even still, Christ has promised to be with us, and Christ has promised to love us. And his answer to the crowds, when they say this to him, to those who want to know the answers to their questions, relief from their distress, is Jesus' answer for us too. It might not be very plain, but it is reassuring. It is full of grace and truth and love, as Jesus usually is, always is. It is a promise of life. It seems to me that in the passage for today, one thing we are being taught is that the Jesus who we seek to follow is the shepherd. That's how he responds to their inquiry. In some of other pieces of John, he just explicitly says, "I am the good shepherd." Today, he says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me." It seems like on the surface, this might be an equally frustrating answer for the crowds, right? It's not very plain. But he has told them something, even if they aren't quite sure at the time. He has promised them more than they realize. And this promise is for you and I, too. Shepherds are people who gather, they protect, they care for, they guide. Shepherds lead while making sure none are lost. Shepherds sometimes have to poke and prod with one end of the stick, and they hook the sheep back in with the other. Shepherds stay near to their flock, never leaving them to the care of the world. And this is who Jesus says that he is for us. So when Jesus says he is the good shepherd, we know this to be true, and we know this to be true not because we just sort of take it on face value because, you know, Jesus said it, so we should do it. We know it to be true because we have experienced it. We know it to be true because Jesus has protected us and loved us. Jesus has poked and prodded us when we needed, and thankfully, he has hooked us back into the flock when we have strayed. Jesus has carried us through when nothing else would. This has been our experience. We know it to be true. Just as a child knows who their mother or their father is, not because somebody told them, but because they experienced it, so it is with us, as with Jesus as the Good Shepherd. So when life fills our hearts and minds with questions and concerns and worries and experiences that only seem to make us cry, why or how or what is going on here, we are called to trust in Christ's promise to be the good shepherd. This week I fell into the trap of reading stuff on the internet, and I saw something that said, "Accept what is, let go of what was, and have faith in what will be." Sort of a lovely thought. But it is not the promise of Christ the good shepherd for us. In life's up and downs, we aren't just moving in and out, blindly facing what comes next, trusting in some sort of thing that will carry us forward. Instead, Christ has promised to be with us, to guide us and to lead us, to keep us close, to care for us, to poke and prod us along the way, to bring us back in when we stray. And Christ has promised to love us, and he has followed through on this promise. Even more than those promises, though, he has promised us life. For that is what a shepherd gives to a sheep, ultimately, right? Their life. This is what Christ gives to those of us who would seek to follow him in the world. And this is the hope that carries us forward even in the midst of those moments that make us want to cry out to God. Tell us plainly what is going on here. This promise of life is what Christ has told us plainly in his resurrection from the dead that we celebrate in Easter. So my prayer for you this week is that in the midst of joys of the midst of the sorrows and joys that inevitably face us, you may know how deeply Christ loves you. How Christ the Good Shepherd promises you abundant and hopeful life, and that you may make this known to all people and all places.